Can you already believe it's 2018? I thought time was supposed to slow down and not pass by so quickly, but it just seems like each of the years, they just keep flying by quicker each and every year. And you know, each time a new year comes, what is one of the most common things that we all do? We begin to set resolutions. We begin to set goals and things that we want to see to help improve our lives. Things like exercise more, eat healthier, spend more time with my family, not try to get stressed out so much over all the little things. And we set these resolutions and these goals to try to say, I'm going to have a much better year in 2018 than I did in 2017. And I know that there's been a lot of people, because as I've passed by Planet Fitness, that place has been full. But I know in the coming weeks, it's going to be a ghost town again. Because you might be like me, you might have already set those resolutions and already broke them. Or you could be like me, you set those resolutions and you never even started any of them yet. With the hope, well, maybe I'll wait just a little bit. But you know, every year we try and we go through those processes of trying to think, what can I do to make my life better, to make those around me better? What goals can I set? And as I was thinking about this new year, God set upon my heart this new series that I've titled Pray. Because there's one thing that we all could do that would definitely improve all of our lives and would even improve the life of this church, and that is to pray more. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about prayer. And I want us to learn how we can pray with power and pray with a passion that leads us to maturity, and so that our intimacy with God can grow. And here's the reason why I believe that this series is important for us as we start this new year. Because I believe if I ask this question, every single one of us would agree in this room that there is power in prayer. I believe if I ask each and every one of you, is there power in prayer? You would all say, yes, Pastor, there is power in prayer. But I also believe that many of us would say, but I don't pray as much as I should. And why is that? Why is it that we know we serve a good God who answers the prayer of His children, yet we don't pray as much or as often as we should? I think there's probably several reasons why we don't pray like we should. Some people honestly just feel that they don't know how to pray. They feel that they just don't know if, or they feel like they're not doing it right. Some people may actually get bored while praying, or some of you might be that ADD prayer. You know, you're sitting there praying, you're like, God, I'm praying for a miracle. Oh, miracle whip. You know, I am kind of hungry. I guess I'm going to go fix me a sandwich. Or you're praying, you're like, what's that shiny thing over there? And you just keep losing focus. And you're like, what's going on? Some people are intimidated by others who pray really good. You know, you hear that person who's just quoting scripture like, God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that in Deuteronomy 28, you say that we are blessed coming in and going out. I'm thankful that we are the head and not the tail. And, you know, they're calling down angels and they're binding demons. And you're like, wow, that's a really good prayer. You know, if I was God, I would answer that prayer because that's just awesome. And so some people are intimidated, and they're like, I can't pray like so-and-so, so I'm not going to pray. Or sometimes we get into our sinful self, and pride begins to take over, and we're like, well, I can't let them outpray me. So I've got to beat them. I got to pray better than them. And so you began to fill your prayer with all this spiritual fluff just so that people would be more impressed with your prayer. But no matter what form it takes, many of us deal with these types of frustrations when it comes to our prayer lives. And so over the next few weeks, I want to let God do a work in each of us and teach us how to pray with power and with passion. And when it comes to prayer, I think there are two big mistakes that many of us make. I think there's two common prayer mistakes. And the first is our prayers are often too small. And the second is our prayers are often too general. I believe when we pray to God, I believe so many of our prayers are often too small and too general. Because sometimes it's like I imagine God just really becoming frustrated with us. Because, you know, we'll get up and we'll pray, well, God, just bless me today, or bless so-and-so. And it's like, I can imagine God sitting there saying, do you not realize where you live? Do you not realize all that I've already blessed you with? You are already a truly blessed person, but I'll keep giving you more, even though I guess you don't recognize it. Or you know, we'll say, God, I pray that you will just be with me today. And I can imagine God saying, don't you remember I've already told you I will never leave you nor forsake you? I'm already with you. You're praying for something you already have. Or just I can imagine some of that because we often pray these small and general prayers. But today I want to encourage you, though, to pray big and to pray specific prayers, because it is when we pray specific prayers that it moves God to specific actions. Let me say that again in case you didn't hear it. Our general prayers do not move God to specific actions. It is our specific prayers that move God to specific actions. That's why James says that we do not have because we do not ask. See, what we need to do is to ask God for specific requests and have the faith to believe that the God we serve can do all things that otherwise would be impossible to ever see. Because when all of a sudden we begin to pray these types of prayers and God begins to work and God begins to move, God begins to do things that otherwise would be impossible, and people around us would see and would not others around us would not be able to say, well, that's just coincidence. It would have to be something that God has done, because they would understand it takes the hand of God to pull something like that off. And see, this year, I want to pray big, faith-filled, and passionate prayers. One example of this, of such a prayer, comes from Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation. He had a friend by the name of Frederick Myconius, who was his assistant and kind of served him and helped him to undertaking this job, this enormous task of reforming the church in the 1500s. Well, in 1540, Myconius fell deathly ill, and he was on his deathbed. And he wrote a farewell letter to Luther, and basically he wrote to him and saying, the end is near, I love you, and all this type of stuff. And when Luther read that letter, he would not accept it. And instead of praying a safe little prayer, may the Lord be with you, may the Lord comfort you, instead Luther prayed a massive, specific, faith-filled prayer. And he wrote this in a letter back to his friend. Luther wrote, I command you in the name of God to live, because I still have need of you in the work of reforming the church. The Lord will never let me hear that you are dead, but will permit you to survive me. For this I am praying, because I seek only to glorify the name of God. Now that's a very big and specific prayer, isn't it? Now, what's even crazier is Myconius, by the time he received this letter back from Luther, had lost the ability to speak. He was evidently hours away from death, as they thought. And when he read this letter from Luther, it engaged his faith, and miraculously, he was healed. And he lived 6 more years past this, and guess when he died? He died 2 months after Luther died. See, God answered Luther's prayer, his powerful, specific prayer, and God answered it in a specific way, because Luther prayed because he believed that his God could do all things. See, so I hope that we learn to pray this way. I hope that we learn to tap into the power of God. And so what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks is we're going to be looking at some of Paul's prayers. And we're going to be looking today in Ephesians chapter 3 at one of Paul's prayers for his churches. And when Paul prays, we will see that he prays in the same way for his churches. He will always say, I'm praying for this, and fill in the blank with whatever it is. But then after he gives what he's praying for, he says, so that. He says, I'm praying for this, and then he gives the result, what he's hoping to come out of it. And so we can see that he always prays with purpose. He's not just saying, I pray that God will bless you. He's saying, I'm praying that God will do this work in you so that this will happen. He's always praying big, specific prayers. And as we look at this first prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul wrote this prayer around the year 60 AD from a Roman prison to the church in Ephesus. And he started the prayer out this way. Look with me beginning in verse 14 of chapter 3. He says there, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. First thing I want you to notice here is the posture of prayer. When you pray, it's important to know that you can pray in any posture you feel comfortable praying. We see throughout Scripture that people don't just pray one way. They pray in many different postures. And I say this because I've heard many people say, if you really want to pray and get God's attention, you have to be praying in this specific way. You got to be kneeling, or you got to be doing this. But throughout Scripture, we see that there are many different postures of prayer. You can pray standing. You can pray sitting. You can pray laying down. You can pray while you're driving. You can pray kneeling. You can pray while you're walking through a community. As I remember hearing when I was a youth intern at First Baptist of Athens, we went up to Pittsburgh, and the missionary that we were working with, the church planter there, he says, I want you to go prayer walking today. And he says, here's the one thing I want you to realize. You don't have to close your eyes to pray. Because everybody was like, well, how can we pray and walk at the same time? And he says, that's just the thing. You don't have to close your eyes and pray. You just walk through that community, praying over the houses you go by, praying for the people you pass by, and you just do that as you're walking. And then he says, all right, everybody, before we go, let's pray. You want to know what everybody did? They bowed their heads and shut their eyes. Because that's just our common way. But there isn't a specific posture to prayer. But here in this case, we find that Paul was kneeling. He says, I knelt down before God in prayer. And I would encourage you just to vary the posture of your prayer. I do this all the time based on the intent of my heart and the need of my prayer. You know, there are times when I kneel before God, and in that it's just something that in me that says, God, I'm giving you due reverence. In other words, I'm worshiping you. I'm acknowledging my weakness. I'm acknowledging the strength that you have. So I'm kneeling before you as a way of showing this. It's a way of me showing my reverence. And also, when there's something that I'm really petitioning God for, I like to kneel. It helps me to focus, and it's a very valuable way for me to do that. But there is not a specific way that you have to be in order to pray. I encourage you to vary your posture. But then we continue on and we see in verse 16 that it says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. We see here that Paul prays out of God's glorious riches. He says, I am praying out of God's glorious riches. What does that mean? Well, what Paul is saying there is that when he is praying, he is recognizing that he is praying to a heavenly Father that has every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, and they are available to his children. He is saying, I am praying to a gloriously rich God. He is saying, I'm praying to a God who has already made available to us every possible spiritual blessing. So he says, I pray that according to the riches of his glory. In Philippians 4, Paul said, my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches. See, what we need to realize is that we serve an infinitely spiritually rich Heavenly Father. And yet so many of us are living like spiritually impoverished children. We serve a God who has every spiritual blessing available to us, and He desires to give that blessing to us, and we are, though, often praying small and general prayers. And so Paul says, I pray according to the riches of God's glory, that you may be strengthened through the power, with power through His Spirit in your inner being. He says, that's the so what. I'm praying out of God's glorious riches that you would be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. And then in verse 17, he tells us that that's what he was praying for, but then in verse 17, he tells us why he prayed that. Verse 17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Paul prayed that he would strengthen them with power through the Holy Spirit so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. He prayed that God would strengthen them with power, though. Now, this is not just our ordinary human power. This is the power of God. This is supernatural power. This is something that is just so amazing to me, because as I think about the prayer that Paul could offer up to the churches, as I think about what we often pray for, the general prayers that we often pray for, we could pray for discipline, we could pray for patience, we could pray for gratitude, but that's not what Paul prays for this church. No, he prays that they would have power, and let's be honest, that is what we all need. I know I desperately need the power of God in my life. I need the power of God in my preaching. I need the power of God in my parenting. I need the power of God in my marriage. I need the power of God to overcome temptation. I need the power of God to stand boldly in the face of spiritual opposition. And so Paul begins to pray for this church at Ephesus, and he prays that God would strengthen them with His power. And so what this means to us here today is that the same power that was available to the church in Ephesus is available to us here this morning, yet so many of us are not tapping into what is available to us. Has any of y'all ever had that little plug-in in your home that doesn't work? You know, you're sitting there, there's a plug-in here, and I really would like to plug in my lamp over here, but it just doesn't work. Or I'd like to plug this in, but I just can't get any power out of it. Well, you know, there's a plug-in over in the office, in Belinda's main office there, right underneath that window. We had tried to plug in many things. There'd been times I'd be in there and she'd ask a question, so I'd go get my computer, find out it's about dead, so I'd bring my plug-in in there, try to plug it in. I'm like, oh, great, this ain't going to work. I'm going to have to go back to my office. Once I find it, I'll come back in here and let you know, because there was just no power coming out of that plug-in. But then one day, Rita was filling in for Belinda because Belinda was on vacation. I walk in there, and I see Rita has her laptop plugged in under there. And I'm sitting there, Rita, just want you to know that that plug-in doesn't work, just in case you didn't realize it wasn't charging your computer, and I didn't want it to die on you in the middle of your work. And she's like, no, it's working. I'm like, how? She's like, there was a little switch over there by the door that you had to flip on to get that power to come on. And I'm like, for a year and a half, we'd been working, trying to get that power to work. And it was there the entire time. I just had to flip that little switch. The power had been available the entire time. We just weren't tapping into it. And it's the same thing with our life and how we pray. All that time, it was one little switch. All that power was available to us, but we never tapped into it. I want to tell you today that there is more power available to you through the Holy Spirit and the glorious riches of the God we serve, if you will call on it, if you will ask Him for it. And Paul says, I pray not that you will be blessed. I don't pray that you will be saved, but I pray that you will have power, that the presence of Christ might dwell in your heart. And he continues there in verse 17 as he says there at the end of it. so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and then verse 18 he says, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He prays that they might have strength and they might have power. Why? So that they can comprehend the love of God. Now what? Why would I need power so that I could understand and comprehend the love of God? Why would I need power to grasp how wide and how long and how deep is the love of Christ? The reason why is because you cannot naturally understand God's love. It has to be supernaturally revealed to you. Our little finite minds, they just do not have the capacity to understand how much God really loves us. Because with God, love is not what He does. That's often how we comprehend love. Well, so-and-so loves me because they did this for me. That's not how we define God's love. God's love is not based upon what He does. No, we find that God is love. That is just who God is. It's not just what He does, it is who He is. And when you recognize that is who He is, then you stand on the strength of, there's nothing I can do to cause God to love me more, and there's nothing I can do to cause God to love me less. God doesn't love me because of what I do. God loves me because of who He is. And when we understand that, it frees us up to serve our God and to live our life for Him. When that overtakes us, suddenly Christianity becomes something it becomes something more than just what I do on Sunday. It becomes the essence of what we are called to be. It becomes, I am a Christ follower, and I have power that dwells within me because Christ is in my inner being. Suddenly, we are not living just for the lower things of this world. And you know, there are times where you're like, how in the world did you stay calm? When you got that bad doctor's report, how in the world did you take it so well? I've heard that question asked to so many people, and you want to know why people are able to remain calm in the face of death? Do you want to know why people are able to remain calm when they receive that bad news? The answer is because they have the power of God. They have God who is living within them. And see, often, though, we forget to flip that switch. These people have, but so many times, we forget to flip that switch. And so, the problem is, there are people who are living underneath a spiritually, gloriously rich Father, and yet we are living like spiritually impoverished children because we haven't tapped into what He has made available for us. And my prayer for you today is that you would have a deeper and more meaningful spiritual encounter with the Holy God. That it wouldn't be, I'm just here singing along to some wonderful songs here this morning. I'm here just sitting in my pew, nice warm building, hearing the preacher preach. But I pray that today what you would be saying is, I'm dwelling in the presence of God. I'm hearing His voice. His Spirit is guiding me. When I'm reading His Word, it's like it's just jumping off the page and giving me encouragement and convicting me away from my sins, or it's leading me into the right places, and I'm having the faith to do things that otherwise would seem impossible. I pray that each of you would have the power to understand how much God loves you here this morning, and that when you think you understand it, God's love just comes more on you, and it's just like, oh, I didn't understand that, but now I do. And then more of God's love comes on you. I pray that it would just wave after wave fall upon you. And then maybe things in your life would begin to change. Because maybe for years you have been dissatisfied. You have so much, yet you want so much more. Maybe for years you have battled depression or feelings of loneliness or inadequacy. And as you began to understand that God's love for you And as you began to understand the power of God resides in you, I pray that these things would begin to melt away. Because do you realize this morning, if you are a follower of Christ, you have the same Spirit within you who raised Christ from the dead. That's power, isn't it? And that's the power that is within you. So your identity is not based on what you have or what you do, but on what God thinks about you. And there's a deep assurance of His love because it's not been naturally learned, but it has been supernaturally revealed to you. Therefore, you are never the same. Guess what then? Your prayers will begin to change when you realize how much God loves you and when His power dwells within your heart. Because your prayers won't be just keep us safe today, God, and bless this food, and yeah, be with us, and that's all I can think of. Amen. But now you're praying for big things. You're not just saying, God, keep my kids safe today and keep them off drugs. But no, you're praying, God, I want you to raise up my children to be spiritual leaders in their school. God, may they stand for your glory. I pray that you would just build their faith, that they would be leaders in their faith. You're praying specific and big prayers for your children. You aren't praying, oh God, I just pray for my husband. He's such a jerk. Can't you help him not be such a big jerk? But now you're praying, God, I pray that you will touch the heart of my husband. I'm praying that he would bow his knee to you and that he would fully surrender to your son, Jesus Christ. And he would stand up as a fully devoted follower of Jesus. That he would be a man after God's own heart. I pray that our family would be different because he leads us to the things of God, and he is close to Jesus. He is hearing from your word. I pray that generations would be different because my husband will fully belong to you. See, we need to pray big prayers. We need to pray specific prayers because we believe in a God who says all things are possible with me. And then your faith grows and it grows and it grows because you have the power of the risen Christ dwelling within you. And see, Paul wraps things up by saying that you may be filled with the fullness of God. But then in verse 20, he says, now to him, to Christ, who is able to do, notice what he says, who is able to do far more abundantly than what we can ask or even imagine. The greatest thing you can picture in your mind, God can do far more. The greatest thing you can dream up, my God can do far more. And how is he able to do this? Because of the power that is dwelling within you. Do you see that? That's where the power is. You're not on your own. You are not weak. His power is made perfect in you. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. That's Paul's prayer. Do you see the faith in this prayer? This isn't, God, help us through this day. God, will you help me through this week? This is, may generations be different because you can do exceedingly and abundantly more, immeasurably more than I could ever ask for, more than I could ever imagine. Who has that kind of faith? Only someone with the power of God living within them. And maybe what you need to do today then is to start praying Ephesians chapter 3. As over the next few weeks, I'm basically going to provide you a prayer list of four things that we should be praying for in this coming year. And maybe this is where we need to start. Praying Ephesians chapter 3 for ourselves. Praying Ephesians chapter 3 for those around you. Praying Ephesians chapter 3 for our church. Maybe you have something big and specific that you want to believe God for. And now's the time to ask. Now's the time to have faith in a God who can do far more than we can even imagine. And maybe you're here and you're looking for more. You're trying to understand everything. You're trying to learn more about who this God is and what he has done. Maybe right now God is drawing you to him. but you still have reservations and questions. You're asking, but what if? Or, I don't know quite enough yet. Or, I'm still not good enough. But listen, God wants you to come exactly as you are. That's how good our God is. Maybe God has started this morning to show you a glimpse of His love, that He loves you so much that He became a person, God in the flesh, in the form of His Son, Jesus, who was perfect in every way without sin. And Jesus lived a life, perfect life, and He went to the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And He died, and He rose again on the third day. Why? So that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be forgiven and made new. So maybe today, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. But maybe today, as we have our time of response, maybe today it's that time where you finally say, I need to start praying for this. I need to make that move. I've wanted God to do this, but I've never been asking Him. Or I've struggled with the faith to believe that God can really do this. And so maybe today you will come and you'll begin praying for that spouse. You'll begin praying for your children or your grandchildren. You'll be praying for that problem in your life, and you will say, God, I put this upon you, and I pray that you will work in his life or you'll work in her life. I pray, God, that you would fill this church with power so that in this coming year we will be a church that is on fire for you. Maybe today we begin to pray those big and specific prayers because we know the God we serve. Maybe today God's worked in your life, and today is the day of your salvation. And you come and you pray that first big prayer, that first important prayer in your life, of turning your life over to Jesus. Whatever it might be, you'll have that moment to respond. Let us pray together. Father, today I pray. I pray that you would minister to your people. I would pray, as Paul prayed, that out of your glorious riches, that you might strengthen us, that you might strengthen this church with your power, that your Son would just be dwelling within us, within our hearts, and we would be tapping into that power. I pray today that we would all understand how much you love us so that we could glorify you in all that we do. I pray today that we would believe in the impossible. I pray today that we would have enough faith to trust in you for all things. I pray that you would build up our faith so that we could trust in you for all things. And when those little voices began to tempt us, when they began to say that you don't care for us, that you don't love us, or that we're not good enough, or that you won't help us, Father, I pray that we will stand firm in our faith and continue to make our requests known to you. And Father, when you answer our prayers, I pray that we would give you the glory and the praise. I pray that you, when you answer our prayers in ways that we do not expect, I pray that we would still give you the praise that you deserve, because we don't worship you because of what you do for us, but we worship you because of who you are. We worship you because we need you and we want to know you. Father, I pray that this year you would build our faith, you would build our prayer life, and Father, that you would build our church through your power, through your strength, and not our own. Father, build the faith of this community so that we could experience the true power of the resurrected Christ dwelling within us. We pray for all of this in the name of Jesus.